Buckers, welcome to a brand spanking shiny ass happy new edition of the Hollywood Hick. This here is me, Brent Paris, the Hollywood Hick, coming at all y'all from Hollywood, California, sitting up here in the Florida room on a brisk morning again. It's been having actual weather up in this town, y'all. We ain't used to this nonsense. But I'm sitting here just up from Hollywood Boulevard, spitting distance from the most famous of intersections anywhere, Hollywood and Vine, all y'all. I'm just saying, you're listening to me right here on the Crab Diving Network, www.crabdiving.com. Say it all the time, but if you throw a backslash listen behind that, you're going to get to hear all the fabulous programming right as it's happening right here on the Crab Diving Network. So do it. Also, if you can't pull yourself together to do that, you can always get them off of the iTunes, the Stitcher, the SoundCloud as podcasts on the flip side. So make sure you do that too. Hollywood Hick here comes on every day on the 7th, meaning 7 in the morning, 7 in the evening. That's West Coast time. And then if you want to know other times, that'd be 10 o'clock on the East Coast, and then do the math anywhere else because the Hollywood Hicks brain ain't working too good this early in the morning, because you don't have to do this early in the morning now on account of I got to go to the workplace every day and do responsible things and be all like, I don't even know what the hell I'm supposed to do. But yeah, I'm doing a job I have absolutely no clue what I'm doing 90% of the time. It's ridiculous. Completely ridiculous. It's like, they want this, they want that. I'm like, I have no clue what you're talking about. I've never had to deal with that kind of stuff before, and you all are making assumptions that I know things that I do not know. So we need to get to the bottom of this and like start only talking about things that we know, right? Whatever. Moving on. But is that particular? No, I ain't done with no damn particulars. More particulars, follow me on the Twitter at the H-Wood Hick. And you can also follow my Facebook page, facebook.com/TheHollywoodHick. And now I think that does it for all the particulars here on the front side of this program. So let's see what the heck's going on in the world. Oh, what is everybody talking about? Well, that's what it's all over everything, because he's a dumbass. But I guess he's not a dumbass because he pulled it off. But at the same time, I'm like, why? I don't understand. Basically, what it boils down to is the Hollywood Hick just doesn't, I don't understand. But I do think it's hysterical that Sean Penn could go find that El Chapo drug lord that tunneled out of that prison down in Mexico several months back. But the Mexican authorities couldn't find him. But some soap opera actress from Mexico named Kate something, and Sean Penn done went and found El Chapo. He did an interview. Apparently, it's a poorly written interview. It's horrible. And it's very self-serving and all of these things. I have not read the actual Rolling Stone article because I heard it is a piece of shit. Now, I have seen excerpts, and we will be discussing those as we go through this here. But I think the AP was one of the first people to let this story out. But they put out a article over the weekend, right, that said Mexico drug lord located thanks to interview with Sean Penn. Mm-hmm, you heard that right. Sean Penn is the reason they done went and called El Chapo, that drug lord down in Mexico that like kills everybody and sells a whole lot of drugs and weapons and does a lot of terrorizing and things like that. Like, they will kidnap and kill your ass as soon as look at you. They don't give two fucks. They don't have no fucks to give. They ain't got nary a fuck to give. That's just the truth. That's the truth. But it says here on the AP, says the recapture of drug lord Joaquin El Chapo Guzman took a surprise Hollywood twist when a Mexican official said security forces located the world's most wanted trafficker thanks to secret interview with U.S. actor Sean Penn. Mm-hmm, you heard that right. Penn's interview with Guzman, who has twice escaped from Mexican maximum security prisons, appeared late Saturday on the website of Rolling Stone magazine. It was purportedly held at an undisclosed hideout in northern Mexico in late 2015, several months before Guzman's recapture Friday in Los Mochis, Sinaloa, after 6 months on the run. So he's been loose for 6 months. So, okay, so Sean Penn did this interview a couple of months ago. And then they've been following him ever since, because he thought he was being like all sneaky, from what I understand, like using burner phones and shit like that. You know, them burner phones, that's what they use to do all these drug dealing. I watched enough television programs to know burner phones is what they use them. They don't want nobody to know where they is. They use those all the time, right? But apparently in the interview, El Chapo defends his work at the head of the world's biggest drug trafficking organization. And when asked if he is to blame for high addiction rates, he responds, no. That is false, because the day I don't exist, it's not going to decrease in any way at all. Drug trafficking, that's false. Now, I don't know. I don't know how you'd look at that right there. Now, I think that if you're the one supplying a large amount of drugs into an area, especially like the United States of America, then there is some culpability there. Like, I'm sorry, El Chapo friend, don't hate me on this, and don't like come try to shoot me down because I like call bullshit on you. But I'm calling bullshit on you because yes, somebody probably would swoop in and take your place, but maybe that you would be a lesson to others that maybe you don't want to go down that road because it ain't cute, and you end up having to tunnel out of prison and hide in sewers and shit like that, because that's my understanding, is he tried to sneak out through the sewer. He's always trying to tunnel out of something. He's like a freaking mole. He's like Bugs Bunny having to take a left at Albuquerque because he's always tunneling out of something. Except for I think he's better tunneler than Bugs Bunny, because Bugs Bunny always ended up in Albuquerque, but or maybe he was looking for Albuquerque, I don't know. But freaking El Chapo, he can tunnel out of some shit. That's what I'm saying. But apparently in this article, Sean Penn describes taking elaborate security measures ahead of the clandestine meeting, but apparently they was not enough. Y'all hear that? Because El Chapo done got busted by the Mexican police. But says a Mexican federal law enforcement official speaking on condition of anonymity because he was not permitted to comment on the issue, and probably because he didn't want nobody to know he's the one who talked on account of El Chapo's minions will come out and like chop his head right off the neck. I'm just saying is all. But they told the social page that was the Penn interview that led authorities to Guzman in a rural part of Durango State in October. Authorities who later raided the area decided not to open fire on Guzman because he was with two women and a child. He was able to escape, but they were able to later track him to a house in Los Mochis where Mexican Marines nabbed him after a shootout that left five people dead. Well, you know, look, Mexico is down there using some judgment and when not to shoot. I'm not so sure that would happen up here. I think people will go and guns blazing, these Americans and their guns and their love of guns and wanting to shoot things up. I'm not kidding. Like, if they would be like, oh, sorry, we didn't realize that was a couple of women and children in there with El Chapo. So I'm sorry, we didn't mean to shoot everybody up, but apparently we done shot everybody up. That'd pretty much be how it went down in America. I'm just saying it's out. And now Mexico actually used some judgment and a little bit of reserve, and we're like, oh, now's not the time. We might want to make these innocents get out of the way before we swoop in with a lot of bullets flying and guns blazing and try to restore El Chapo, right? But apparently it keeps going on. It says authorities who later raided the area decided, oops, that's the part I already read. Next paragraph, you dumbass hick. Here we go. The official said that the meeting between Penn and Guzman was held in Tamazula, a community in Durango State that neighbors Sinaloa, home of Guzman's drug cartel. Now, he is hanging close to home. You would think he would be somewhere far away from all of that, like running things from just far away. But nope, he is right there in the thick of things, dumbass. That's why you got to restore it again. You better start digging your next tunnel. And hopefully they put you somewhere where it's harder to put a tunnel in. But I have a feeling he's going to tunnel out of some shit again. That's my prediction, y'all. That is my prediction. But apparently on Friday last week, the Mexican Attorney General Arlie Gomez said that Guzman's contact with actors and producers for a possible film about him and helped give law enforcement a lead on tracking and capturing the world's most notorious drug kingpin. In the Rolling Stone article, Penn wrote that Guzman was interested in having a movie filmed of his life. He said Guzman wanted Mexican actress Kate Del Castillo, who facilitated the meeting between the men, involved in the project. Yeah, so like a soap opera actress. I love this story. It's like, this is like a total, this is like, somebody's gonna make this shit into a movie, I guarantee. Because like, she's a soap opera actress. She is like the middleman between Sean Penn and then the like most notorious drug kingpin in the world, as far as I know, at least over here on this side of the pond in these two continents of North and South America. He's got to be one of the biggest ones, right? But he was apparently he was interested in seeing the story of his life told on film, but would entrusted telling only to Kate. I don't know why he liked her so much. Maybe she's like, I don't know, maybe they have like a thing on the side. I don't know, I'm speculating. Don't hold it against me if I speculate wrong. But apparently it says there was no immediate response from Penn's representative to the Mexican official's comments about that part. But since earlier Saturday, a federal law enforcement official said that Mexico is willing to extradite Guzman to the United States, a sharp reversal from the official position after his last capture in 2014. Because you know why? Because he keeps tunneling out of your shit down there in Mexico. That's why. Because y'all got some, I'm just gonna say it, y'all got a lot of corruption down there, and people got bought off, and then they tunneled in, swooped in, grabbed him. They had a motorcycle in that tunnel to get him out quickly. That's not just some little simple tunnel where they're down there crawling through like freaking Shawshank Redemption or whatever, or like getting, like bribing some woman to get suck their dick and then break it, help them break out of prison like those dudes in upstate New York. No, That ain't what happened. These people are easily bribed down there because everybody is poor. It's crazy, right? It is totally crazy. But it says here, that says that Mexico is ready. Their plans to cooperate with the U.S. And but he cautioned that there could be a lengthy wait before U.S. prosecutors get their hands on Guzman, because you have to go through the judicial process and the defense has its elements, too. I guess that makes sense. I mean, he is entitled to a defense, although I'm thinking he's pretty guilty on account of he tunneled out of prison just 6 months ago. And everybody is pretty aware that he's the one that was in on that and he's the one that broke out. So that in and of itself probably means put him in something with a cement floor that you can't tunnel through, just so it's safe. I'm just saying it's all. And when you put them up here, make sure you can't tunnel through that shit either, because you can make tunnels in America just like you can in Mexico. Just people probably pay more attention up here. Maybe they don't. I don't think they do. No, people are stupid. But the story goes on. It says top officials in the party of President Enrique Peña Nieto, also, I'm not sure if I say these names right, so I'm not good at pronouncing these names, so I apologize in advance, also floated the idea of extradition, which they had flatly ruled out before Guzman's embarrassing escape from Mexico's top Mexican maximum security prison on July 11th, his second from a Mexican prison. It's the second time he escaped. I think the first time he escaped like a 70s TV show where he like hid in the laundry or something. They wheeled his ass right out of there. But the second time they built that big old elaborate tunnel, like a mile long tunnel with a motorcycle in there on this little track so they could just zip him right out of there. Like, zero, 1 minute, you're gone. Mother truckers, G-O-N-E, gone. And you know they're saying like, okay, we'll send him to America now, because obviously if they bust out of America, we can just point the finger and be like, y'all some lax ass bitches too, and that is why he's got out again and down here terrorizing people and causing trouble. Maybe we should get this Kate Del Castillo chick to go see if she can locate him again, get Sean Penn to find him for us, because apparently they're better at it than we are. That's what I'm thinking. But if Mexican officials agree, this is what this article also says. Guzman's attorney Juan Pablo Badillo told the newspaper that the defense already had filed 6 motions to challenge extradition requests. They can challenge the judge, challenge the probable cause, challenge the procedure. That's what this says. It says that's why it can take a long time. They won't challenge everything at once. They can drip milk it that way. Guzman faces drug trafficking charges in several U.S. states, and the American officials hope to extradite him after he was captured in February of 2014. Then he went and got broke out of prison, and they're going to drag this stuff out. They drag stuff out because they even said it's going to take forever to get that stupid affluenza Ethan Couch mother trucker back up here, because he's sitting down there in Mexican prison because, I don't know, all of their rules or whatever. But they need to send that little motherfucker back so he can like have to like answer to his untoward nonsense too. But apparently, back then, at the time, we'll get back to this Guzman story. Fuck that affluenza dude. I also saw his mama got out on bail. They like lowered her bail, which I did think it was kind of nuts. Like, even though she's probably a see you next Tuesday bitch ass bitch, but she was in jail for like $1 million bail. Like, it didn't really need to be $1 million. I mean, she just helped her kid go down to Mexico. Whatever. But I mean, your kid's a horrible, awful person, and you're a horrible, awful person for sort of perpetuating it. You should be freaking bringing the hammer down on that little motherfucker, but you're not. And that's why you ended up in jail, and you're a stupid ass. But moving back to El Chapo, apparently back then at the time, the Mexico's government insisted it could handle the man who had already broken out of prison once, saying he must pay his debt to Mexican society first. Then Attorney General Jesus Murillo Karam said the extradition would happen only after he finished his sentence in Mexico in 300 or 400 years. So they were like, in about 400 years, America, you can have him. Now they're like, we're not very good at holding him, so America, we might let you have him this time. So that's kind of good. But then apparently he escaped through an elaborate tunnel. I've been talking about this. He escaped through an elaborate tunnel dug into Mexico's most secure lockup on July 11th, thoroughly embarrassing Peña Nieto's administration. He also escaped a similar maximum security facility in 2001 while serving a 20-year sentence. See, lore says he hid in a laundry cart, though many dispute that version. He spent 13 years on the lam. Like, see, the first time he got out in a laundry cart. That's how lax that shit is. That is how lax that mother trucking shit is down there. And he got out in a laundry cart like a 70s TV show and spent 13 years on land. Now, if Sean Penn had gone after him back then, maybe he wouldn't have been out for 13 years again. Maybe it would only be 6 months if you got Kate and Sean on the case. I'm just saying, that should be a show. Kate and Sean on the case. There, I just made a TV movie for you, or actually a TV series, like a Lifetime show. No, probably more like the USA Network, one of those. TNT. All right. Goes on. Gomez said that one of Guzman's key tunnel builders led officials to the neighborhood of Los Mochis that authorities have been watching for a month. The team noticed a lot of activity at the house Wednesday and the arrival of a car early Thursday morning. Authorities were able to determine that Guzman was inside the house. That's El Chapo, Guzman. That's El Chapo. The Marines were met with gunfire when they closed in. And there's video out there. Some of you should Google it. I looked at it for a hot second. Like, it's pretty nuts. Like, they had GoPro cameras on their guns and stuff, and they're out there just shooting some shit up. But Gomez said Guzman and his security chief, Ivan Gastelum, a.k.a. El Cholo Ivan. I like that. El Cholo Ivan. That looks sounds scary. He sounds like he will fuck you up as soon as look at you. Apparently, they were able to flee via storm drains and escape through a manhole cover to the street where they commandeered getaway cars, right? So basically, they snuck out through the sewers. They want to call it storm drains here. I call it the straight up sewers, because I looked at that wife beater in the picture that El Chapo had of where they arrested him sitting in some sex motel, because that's where they ended up picking his ass up, in a sex motel where you can order up condoms and things right from the bedside. I ain't kidding. And like lubes and stuff like that. But apparently Marines climbed into the drains in pursuit. They closed in on the two men based on reports of stolen vehicles, and they were arrested on the highway. So they tried to like freaking carjack some cars and get away. The Marines were like, oh, hell to the no. We are not letting this. We are not going down like this again. El Chapo, you are not tunneling out this time. We is on your tail. But according to a statement from the Mexican Attorney General's office, the U.S. filed extradition requests while Guzman was in custody. And then after he escaped, the Mexican government determined that they were valid within the extradition treaty and sent them to a panel of federal judges who gave orders for detention on blah, blah, blah. What the fuck are these people talking about now? But apparently those orders were not for extradition, but just for Guzman to begin the extradition hearing process. So whatever, we are trying to extradite his ass. Is there anything else in here? That the quickest he could be extradited is 6 months. That's all we need to know. So AP, thank you for all of that information there. But you could have like condensed that last part into just a little bit, because that's some straight up bullshit. But so what happened was, if you've been paying attention, Sean Penn and some Kate Del Castillo, soap opera actress from Mexico, right, ended up out in the El Chapo, who had his picture took with Sean Penn. Like, Sean Penn has a picture of him like shaking his hand and all of this nonsense. And apparently too, the shirt that he is wearing, that El Chapo is wearing in this photo, is like from some like store or whatever. I don't know. It's like some like fancy shirt store down in Mexico or whatever. But now it's like all popular. Everybody on the interwebs is trying to buy up this shirt because they want to look like El Chapo, which don't make no damn sense. But if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. Ain't going to try to stop you. But over here on the Gawker website, you know, I love me some Gawker. I'm always referencing the Gawker here on the Hollywood Heck program here on the Crab Diving Network, right? www.crabdiving.com. But what I'm saying is they got to pull out some of the best lines from the I guess we should call them the worst lines, because that's what their headline is. The worst lines from Sean Penn's El Chapo profile, right? So Sean Penn apparently is not the world's best journalist writer, and people keep talking, like, I've seen people debating too about like whatever, like, is he really a journalist? Actually, in the grand scheme of things, yeah, you could have to consider him a journalist, because if I just go out and decide to do some reporting, I'm gonna call myself a journalist. That makes me a journalist, pretty much how it works. Does it make me a good journalist? No, not necessarily, but a journalist nonetheless. I'm just saying is all right. Well, apparently, his piece, according to this, begins in seriousness with a quote from a 16th century French philosopher. They call it a rambling jumble of platitudes and reeks of the white hot passion of an endearing and powerful teenage angst. Yeah, so that's what that's how they describe it here on the Gawker website. They describe it as a rambling jumble of platitudes and reeks of the white hot passion of an enduring and powerful teenage angst. Okay, so according to this, we learned a few things about Tom, who the fuck is Tom? Sean Penn, right? It says we learned many interesting things about the writer, as well as his subject in the piece. The first thing we learned about Sean Penn in here is apparently motherfucker doesn't know how to work a laptop. He's 55 years old, and he says, I've never learned to use a laptop. Do they still make laptops? No fucking idea. Then you're not a journalist. Sean, you're not a journalist. Because you know what? No self-respecting journalist ain't got no damn laptop to write their story. Where did you write this on? Did you go like just pen and paper it and then have somebody transcribe it for you? But you can't tell me that you don't know what a damn laptop is and that people don't still use laptops, because you can't tell me you haven't walked by a damn Starbucks or a freaking Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf or whatever place where people are sitting around with their laptops all the flipping time. So quit trying to act like you're like too good to use a damn computer, or like you're just too freaking like whatever. I can't think of the word I'm trying to think of, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Quit trying to act like you're some kind of erudite who doesn't need no damn computer, okay? Because we know that you're full of shit. Like that right there just makes me screams at me that you're full of fucking shit. And you're 55 years old, which means you're not that fucking old. And computers have been around for a long fucking time, okay? They're everywhere. Everywhere. Dumb mother trucker. Sean Penn. Come on, fool. Come on, fool. He goes on, he writes some shit that's just fucking ridiculous. Like on here it says, I just like how they set things up here on the Gawker. It says, one can almost see the frustration of Penn's editor, who probably lost a little chunk of his soul as he read this. So this line, it says, I take no pride in keeping secrets that may be perceived as protecting criminals, nor do I have any gloating arrogance for posing for selfies with unknowing security men, but I'm in my rhythm. Everything I say to everyone must be true as it is compartmentalized. What the fuck does that mean, Sean Penn? Okay, quit trying to act like you are smarter than you are. I get it. You went down to Haiti that one time, think you did all of these like wonderful things, and now you think you're like the savior of shit. I don't get it. I don't know why you even took it upon yourself to do this, because honestly, right now you should be looking over your shoulder at every turn. Every turn, because now that they've like pinpointed and they put it all over everything, everywhere, that you and this Kate Del Castillo chick are the ones that ended up getting the popo down there onto El Chapo and arresting his ass, then these people are going to be coming after your ass. Like, they will assassinate your ass. They will fucking chop your head off and put it on a stick and then put you on TV and tell everybody they did it and be like, this is a warning to all you mother truckers that you better not do this same shit. Don't be fucking with El Chapo or none of our nothing. Okay. That's what they're saying. But apparently, we also learned that he's like the cure for the world's ills. It says here, like, this is another thing where he's like patting himself on the back. I love people who want to pat themselves on the back. Like, just sitting through them damn award shows. Like, we'll get on it in a little bit. Them damn Golden Globes happen. I don't understand why people watch all these award shows. I tried to sit through them with a friend's party. You know, I fell right to sleep. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Hold on. I'm still talking about Sean Penn and El Chapo, right? Well, he said, working in the emergency and development field in Haiti, I have countless times been proposed theoretical solutions to that country's ailments by bureaucratic agencies unfamiliar with the culture and incongruities on the ground. What the fuck does that mean, too? I guess, like it says here on the Gawker thing, it says, if only someone would listen to him. So basically, it's like, I have gone and volunteered my time during a tragedy, and now I know all the world's ills and exactly what is causing them, and I can't believe ain't nobody asking me how to fix this shit. And that's what I'm getting out of that. And really what it is you went and did some good. I think you did do some good there, but I think this whole El Chapo thing has come around to bite you in the ass, so you might want to quit acting so freaking superior about this stuff. Like, you're something special, because you're a movie actor, and you're an angry movie actor from what I understand anyway. So maybe you should just stick to movie acting, but we'll go on. But El Chapo apparently is not a tourist, but this is what it's like. What does it even mean? I guess this other line here says, I could not sell him on a bait and switch, and I knew that in the writing of any piece, my only genuine cards to play were to expose myself as one fascinated and willing to suspend judgment. I understood that whatever else might be said of him, it was clear to me he was not a tourist in our big world. No shit. No mother trucking shit, Sean Penn. He is not a tourist. That dude is probably way smarter than anybody wants to give him credit for. You don't run this big old giant drug cartel and be complete mouth-breathing moron. That just ain't how it works. You don't bust out of prison twice, one time, and be on the run for 13 years without them bitches finding you, and then the second time build this like elaborate tunnel to come fetch your ass out of prison and be on the lam for 6 months, and then make one mistake, which is like hooking up with your dumb ass. You know El Chapo is fucking hating Sean Penn right now. He's like, that motherfucker, we gonna do something to hit. Like, really, Sean Penn, you need to be looking over your shoulder. Like, you better go get some serious bodyguards, start wearing a bulletproof vest everywhere you go, pants, bulletproof helmet, bulletproof everything, because I have a feeling that somebody somewhere might be coming for your ass. I'm just saying this out, okay, but whatever, he's like pontificates everything, and apparently, this is my favorite part of the whole story, but apparently, Sean Penn done went and farted right in front of El Chapo. apparently El Chapo can handle a fart. Because he goes, he also said, so he goes, at this moment, I expel a minor traveler's flatulence, sorry, in parentheses, and with it, I experience the same chivalry he'd offered when putting Kate to bed, as he pretends not to notice. He wanted to, because El Chapo was like, dude, he was probably thinking, dude, I can't believe Sean Penn just fucking ripped it right beside me, and he's like, they're calling minor traveler's flatulence. Sorry, you farted, Sean. Just say, I farted in front of El Chapo, and he took it in stride and didn't say nothing when everybody in the room knew that I had farted, but nobody said nothing. So, like, what the fuck is you... That's hysterical. That is hysterical. You couldn't hold on to it. You couldn't just hold on to that fart. You had to let it out in front of El Chapo. I wouldn't have farted in front of El Chapo because that might have been the one thing that sets him off. He'd be like, no one farts in front of El Chapo. Off with his head. That's probably how that shit would go down. I'm just saying, I would be too scared. I'd be like, I'd be holding on to that fart. I don't care how bad it hurt. I'd be like, I got to hold on to this till I'm out of here and then I can let it fly. I'll just go to the restroom. Make sure this is taken care of, move on with my day. But I ain't farting in front of no El Chapo. Mother trucking, But one last thing it says here, that Penn delighted in referencing to himself as a gringo, and for it is likely that his suggested headline for the piece was, oh, they made this up, Gringo in a Strange Land, which it could. He goes, but I guess the here it says on the article from Sean Penn, it says, I ask myself, how in the fuck does anyone run a business that way? I go full Trump gringo on Kate, battering her daily by phone, text, and encrypted mail. What? I don't even know what that means. Blah, blah, blah. But apparently it says, if you dive deeper into the remandering mess, it becomes clear that Penn holds some sort of Hollywood-inspired reverence for El Chapo, a man who once claimed that he had murdered thousands of people. That's the thing. He murdered thousands of people by his own account. So he's just saying straight up off the bat, yep, I done killed thousands and thousands of people, and I will kill thousands and thousands more if you get in my way. Sean Penn should not be reveling in this dude going down there trying to like get some article. Whatever. I don't understand what he was trying to pull off, but I don't think Sean Penn has won this this one. I think most people are like, what a dumbass. What a dumbass. And he is a complete dumbass about it. Because apparently, he was not very good at keeping his mouth shut. Like, all of this had happened. Like, he was good, I guess, at keeping his mouth shut up until he actually did it. But then, according to the Page Six people, says right here, Sean Penn couldn't keep his mouth shut about El Chapo. So that's why everybody and their brother knows that Sean Penn had, like, well, I mean, the article is out now, but apparently, like, it was already kind of becoming common knowledge for most people who were, like, privy to this kind of shit because he was, like, running his mouth at the Beverly Hills Hotel. But it says right here, Sean Penn turned the Beverly Hills Hotel's famed polo lounge into a war room for strategizing how to handle his El Chapo controversy over Golden Globes weekend, right? But apparently says here, while spies said he had consulted with a team that included a former State Department staffer and a political consultant, the star perhaps neglected to consider half of Hollywood could hear everything he was saying. Apparently somebody who was there to see this said he was running around like Woodward and Bernstein at the Washington Post, strategizing as much as possible even before the El Chapo story broke. They were loudly talking about El Chapo. Everyone was thinking, is that his next film project? Then the story hit. So yeah, so he was running around like some people. He was like, I have got the biggest story coming out right now. But also it's like, but at the same time, I'm going to look like a complete idiot because I wrote this like a 14-year-old. Like most people, anybody who's read it apparently says that it's written by like a freaking child. And it's like riddled with like grammar mistakes and just bad wording and things like that. But apparently it says that his team met daily. It was like bad journalism 101. They're meeting in the middle of the polo lounge and talking so loud the place was packed for the Golden Globes. He was standing up while talking to him. Somebody was like, couldn't they think of any place else to meet? Like, yeah, how about in your hotel room with a door shut? Like if you have to go meet at a hotel, like that don't make no sense. Like they wanted attention. That's the thing, they wanted attention. They knew they had a big story and they wanted the attention. Now I would be scared for that attention because I'm telling you, El Chapo, I would not be fucking with that dude. He will kill you dead. He already admitted thousands he killed without blinking an eye. Apparently, Zico goes on just a little bit more. It says, among Team Penn's concerns was that the star's El Chapo liaison, Mexican actress Kate Del Castillo, was going to write her side of the story. And on Monday, they said, she's not going to write her side. They were relieved. Penn was like, she wants to be on Charlie Rose instead of me. So basically, like, yeah. So basically, Sean Penn is wanting to, like, he wanted all of the attention. So he's like, this woman who set this up for me, he wanted to usurp her glory by writing the article first. Now, I think this Kate Del Castillo is a lot smarter than Sean Penn. She's like, nah, dude, I realize that this is not something I want to do. I am not going to be writing no story about El Chapo down here in Mexico because you want me to tell you why? He will kill me dead. That's why he will kill me dead. I don't want it. No, 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 no. Ain't gonna happen, Captain. No, sirree, Bob. What did it say? Oh, there's a former Rolling Stone editor, too, who was talking shit on it. Because he said that his John Penn's El Chapo story is Tropic Thunder meets Hunter S. Thompson. Like, he's not having it. He said it was, like, really badly written and all of this stuff. But this guy, his name is Evan Wright. He told this was over on the Rap website, right? He says the former Rolling Stone contributing editor, Evan Wright, says Sean Penn's recent interview with El Chapo is... Oh, God, I can't read. I was like, I had a different word in my head and couldn't read. Did y'all hear me just completely shut down? I was like, I can't read it. The Hollywood hick can't read no more. Back it up. Former Rolling Stone contributing editor Evan Wright says Sean Penn's recent interview with El Chapo is symptomatic of a magazine in decline, and that it felt to him like Penn was doing the Tropic Thunder version of a Hunter S. Thompson story. Yeah, so that's what he fucking called it. But it says down here, he basically says, this is the line that he said, that he said, Penn often writes like a precocious 14-year-old. That is one of the things that it says in this article here. Like, this is what John Penn wrote. He says, I took some comfort in a unique aspect of El Chapo's reputation among the heads of drug cartels in Mexico, that unlike many of his counterparts who engage in gratuitous kidnapping and murder, El Chapo is a businessman first and only resorts to violence when he deems it advantageous to himself or his business interests. Now, I'll have you know, that is one sentence, mother truckers. Even my dumbass knows that that should be probably split up into 3, 4, 5, not just one big old long running on sentence, whatever. But this is the part that, like, he points it out to, and it, like, this is the part that, like, grabs me too. It says, where it says, El Chapo is a businessman first and only resorts to violence when he deems it advantageous to himself or his business interests. Isn't that, like, that's when you're not supposed to resort to violence, when it's just advantageous to you or your business interests. He's being very sarcastic. He's like, I think it's comforting a person who only resorts to violence when he deems it advantageous to himself. Apparently, like, says right here, exactly, this is practically the definition of every violent sociopath I've ever profiled. You see that? That's the thing. It is. It's like, no, he doesn't even realize who he's talking to. He's like, he only resorts to violence if he needs to. Apparently he needs to a lot. Thousands upon thousands of times, Sean, you dumb mother trucker. You dumb mother trucker. So, yeah, that's the story there with this freaking bullshit. But apparently, Sean Penn and Kate Del Castillo went down there and, like, found El Chapo, did this interview, came back. Sean Penn, it's reason that the authorities finally found him, which is funny. I still want to know how they found him and then the Mexican authorities couldn't. That's the part I'm curious about. Like, what is the connection that Kate Del Castillo has? Maybe she's just like, I don't know. I don't know why they got involved. I have no clue why they got involved. But I think if I was either one of them, I would be looking over my shoulder nonstop forever. I have some serious security detail going on around my ass, wearing some bulletproof shit, getting me one of those bulletproof Pope cars or something. Because, mother trucking, you are in trubs now. I'm just saying is all. That's just how that shit's going to go from now on. Speaking of security type things, apparently, a lot of people probably had some security type people at them over here in Hollywood land over the weekend, I guess on Sunday evening, when the Golden Globe Awards was happening over at the, I think they have it at the Beverly Hills. No, the, I don't know, the Beverly Hilton, something like that. I don't know, some fancy hotel over in Beverly Hills. They make this whole big old thing and everybody comes, shows up and gets drunk in their fancy outfits, and then they pat each other on the back. So I am not a huge fan of award shows. I think I have gone on the record multiple times here on the Hollywood Hick saying I do not like award shows. Now, I did go to a party where people were watching this award show. I did not pay a whole lot of attention to it. I will say that up front, because let me tell you why. I had already done two things. I went to brunch beforehand where I was boozing. I had also gone drunk shopping. So, because that's the best way to go shopping, by the way. I've discovered, me and my buddy, we go shopping drunk. It is more fun because, you know why? People do not get on your nerves as much. You have more patience. So if there's people in the way or things aren't just perfect, then you have a much better ability to cope with that nonsense. And things you just go to a store, do some perusing, go get you a drink. Go to a store, do some perusing, leave that store, go get you a drink. That's how it works. Now, I'm normally not a fan of malls, but now I try to go to malls because that way I got lots of stores to choose from. and places that have booze attached to them, because that's what I need. Like, I don't know why people don't have bars in their stores, because I would stay a whole lot longer up in your store if there was a bar up in your store. But that there's a clothing line called Ben Sherman. It's got fancy cute men's shirts and things like that, and breeches and whatever, men's line. But apparently they're going out of business over here on this side of the pond, staying in business from what I'm told over in Europe, but not over here on this side of the pond. They're gonna be rebranding or some shit. I don't know what it is, but they had some straight up bargains. So I had gotten crunk drunk, done been shopping at the Ben Sherman store, bought a whole bunch of shirts and too many things. I can't go drunk shopping for a while because I went a little bit overboard, but it was all bargains. And you know, the Hollywood hick loves a bargain, but I'm telling you, drunk shopping is the best way to go. So I had gone to brunch and drunk shopping, both booze infused events, right? Then I show up at this party where I show up with a bottle of booze, because that's what you're supposed to show up with to a party, and commence to watching it. Well, I watched part of it and talked to some people, didn't really pay a whole lot of attention, slept through part of it, because, you know, sometimes I get comfortable sitting in a chair and my eyes will just shut and I need to take 15 minutes and regroup, because I had been boozing all day, right? So if you're boozing all day, sometimes you need a minute to regroup. So I was watching this, and you know what? I do not give two fucks about it. Like, everything I watch, I'm like, no. Horrible. I can't believe these people went. Okay, go through this list. So it says, like, best performance by an actress in a supporting role is that Kate Winslet for Steve. Like, I think these people win just because of who they are and not what they can do. Because from what I understand, the Steve Jobs movie is horrible. So how's anybody going to win anything for it? The next one that won was this Maura Tierney chick won for a supporting actress role in miniseries, motion picture, TV shit. And that's for that Affair show. Now, I didn't see the second season, but I saw a bunch of the first season, and that show was horrible. It was horrible. It ain't full of nothing but horrible people. I don't understand why everybody don't want to watch nothing but horrible people in their programming these days. I don't get it. There can be a couple of few horrible people. Like, take a lesson from Dynasty. I've been watching Dynasty repeats. It comes on the Amazon Prime. I highly recommend it. But start with season two, because season one was kind of shitty till the last couple of episodes when they realized they had problems. Then they brought in Alexis at the last minute to save the show, which is what happened, because she comes in at the very end. Whatever. She ain't on the first season till the very end. That's my point. But then when she comes on, that's when the shit gets tits good. I'm just saying. But they only had a few bad people, and then they had other people that were good, so that you cared about good people and bad people. But on these shows today, everybody's bad. That Affair program, there's not one person with redeeming qualities. They're all horrible people, and they get what they deserve. That's what I'm saying. Then there's some chick one named Rachel Bloom won for best performance by actress in TV for a musical or comedy for Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I ain't seen one second of it. I hear it ain't even doing that good. Something called Mozart in the Jungle one. Ain't never heard of that. Apparently it's on the Amazon television. Something else one called Wolf Hall. Ain't never heard of that. See, all these things I've never heard of having the shit that won. Performance by actor in a supporting in a limited series. All these, the way they word this, best performance by an actor in a supporting role in a series, limited series, or motion picture made for television. How about we just say best performance by actor in a supporting role, TV? That's it, because you covered everything. Series, limited series, or motion picture made for television. That's all of it. You get that? That's all of it. So just say, like, best actor on TV. How about that? You stupid ass stupids trying to make it, like, what is, like, all of this? Do you think it's because it's longer that it's going to sound more important? No. It makes you sound like a pretentious son of a bitch, and you need to stop that mother trucking nonsense. Okay? Okay. I'm just saying. But then Christian Slater apparently won that for Mr. Robot. I know who Christian Slater is. Apparently, the original score motion picture. See, that's when they just put right what it needs to be. That's Ennio Morricone for Hateful Eight. And apparently, Quentin Tarantino went up there and he used the word ghetto at some point, which pissed off everybody in the room, because he was saying that if you call him a film composer or something like that, that's ghetto, that they're just really composers, which I guess that makes sense. It's like, I get the same way when people say, like, gay marriage. I'm like, nah, it ain't gay marriage. It's just marriage between two people who happen to be gay. So why do you got to put gay in front of it? It's like all the time, people are always telling me, like, people like to tell you who you look like, you know, all the time. And I'm, if I got my spectacles on and I'm like fixed, people are always like, ooh, you look like gay Superman. They don't say Superman, they say gay Superman. Why do you have to put the gay part in front of there? Like, really, like the other day somebody told me I look like gay Henry Rollins. Like, why do you got to put the gay part? You say you just look like Henry Rollins, you just look like Superman a little bit, but you got to put gay in front of it. Don't you realize that's rude and tacky and you need to quit doing that shit? But that's how that shit goes, right? And then again, freaking John Hamm, who What? Everybody thinks he is super foxy, and I am seeing that foxy fade, y'all. He went over that Mad Men show, which I cannot sit through. I don't see how anybody sat through more than 2 minutes of that boring-ass program. Yes, it looks good. It's very art-directed, lit, whatever you want to say. The costumes are nice, but it is boring as hell. I don't understand how nobody got through that program. Made me want to poke my eyeballs out. I only saw one episode because some people forced me to watch that shit, and I could not. I could not. Could not. It was, oh my sweet dolly, that shit was boring. I don't understand. Then other thing, okay, then there's other things on here. Best performance by an actor in a motion picture, comedy, or musical. Matt Damon for The Martian. Now, I've seen that Martian movie. It was okay. It kind of drug at times, to be quite honest, by the Hollywood Hicks standards. But it was not a comedy. It was, I mean, there were a couple of humorous moments, yeah. But for the grand scheme of things, I would not call that a comedy. But apparently the people at the Golden Globes call that a comedy. Look right here. Keep going on down this list. Might as well keep going at this point. Okay, we got down to Best Animated Feature Film, right? Which went to Inside Out. Boring. I tried to watch that. I could not hold my eyeballs open. It was so boring. I couldn't get into it. Friend of mine had a screener of it. My buddy lives next door. He's in one of them guilds, and so they send him like all these DVDs of the like movies and stuff, so he'll vote on it for his like his awards and stuff, right? And so I had like watch them with him because that way I can watch things for free, right? Well, I tried to watch this Inside Out. We both fell to sleep. Normally, I'm the one that'll just fall asleep. He can get through most things, but we were both snoring by the end of that movie. I think 20, 30 minutes in, I was like, oh my God, this is so boring. I just can't. Now, this is one where I'm glad to see. I ain't even seen this movie, but I'm glad for it anyway, because I kind of like him. And I've met him before when he was one time, and he was super nice. And I like that, makes me like you more, right? But best performance by actor in a supporting role in any motion picture. Then why don't you just say supporting role, whatever. I'm just going to have to give that up. But friggin' Sylvester Stallone got him an award for Creed. I hear he's very good. Like, people say he could even win an Oscar for that shit, so which makes me want to see it because I heard it's a very good movie. And I don't know if it's in my buddy's stack of movies, but now I'm hoping it is because I want to see that one. I can go borrow it and watch it for free. Don't tell nobody. I'll go watch it with him. That way it's legit, right? But then best performance by actor in a TV series, blah, blah, blah. Gael Garcia Bernal, who used to be super foxy, I thought, back in the day, but now I'm seeing pictures of him, and he is not getting as foxy as he used to be, and I just realized he is teensy tiny, and I like my men's a little bit more man size. But I mean, something else, because I'm not going to know foreign language, I'm not even going to get into this. And then somehow Lady Gaga won an award for a Best Actress in a Limited Series. I don't know, apparently that's the one where Leonardo DiCaprio rolled his eyes as she walked by, like, oh Lord have mercy, how did this happen? Which the rest of us were probably thinking, Lord have mercy, how did this happen? But I ain't watched none of this American Horror Story Hotel, so I don't know if she's any good in it or not. Like, I think she is a very talented performer, so I would think that maybe she probably does make a decent actress because she's very dramatical, and that's what you need in an actress is a lot of dramaticalness, right? And that's what she does. So apparently, but there was a big old stank because Leonardo DiCaprio rolled his eyes at the Lady Gugu, and then all of a sudden everybody's like, how dare you disrespect her? People are drunk and drinking at the Golden Globes. That's what it's all about, and people are going to make roll eyes kind of things. It's just gonna happen. Quit getting so butthurt over everything, everybody. Just damn, take a joke. Just fucking don't take everything so personal, everybody. Just calm down. Like, everybody's all upset about some of the jokes that Ricky Gervais made in this thing. Like, I only listened to a few of them, but like he made some jokes about Caitlyn Jenner. Yes, you are a very public figure right now, and guess who's going to get jokes made about them? Public figures. That's just how that works. People are all upset because he was making jokes about what that Jennifer Lawrence and the pay gap thing, and he made a very good point because I've said the same thing. I think that there should be equal pay for women. I am not against that one bit whatsoever. Now, I do take issue with the people who are getting all vocal about it and get all butthurt about it are making $52 million a year when you're doing okay. Like, if you're making $52 million a year and you're getting shortchanged a little bit here and there, I don't want to hear it from you. I ain't got no sympathies for you. I ain't got no sympathies for you. I think that's why I didn't like that Martian movie that much. Let me tell you why. Because I ain't got no sympathy for people who put themselves in a situation and then when shit goes wrong, I'm supposed to feel bad for you. No, that's the risk you took when you went up to Mars, and then now guess what? You're stuck on Mars because you got caught up in a storm, got hit by whatever that thing was, left you behind, and then at least they're coming back for you, whatever. But I have no sympathy for them. Like that Everest movie, you get stuck on Mount Everest, that's on you. I don't give a shit. I got my sympathies only run so deep. These things keep on going on. Best television series drama is Mr. Robot. I ain't seen that. I don't know nothing about that. Apparently, the Spectre song won for song. Denzel Washington got a Cecil B. DeMille Award. I mean, this shit just goes on and on forever. Jennifer Lawrence won Go Figure for Joy. I hear it's not even that great of a movie, but whatever. Best Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy. It is not a comedy. The Martian. I don't get it. Yeah, people liked it. It was good. It did well. But I really wouldn't call that a comedy. I really and truly wouldn't call it a comedy. Lighthearted at times, yes, but it was really not a comedy. Not a comedy at all. Then some chick named Brie Larson won for, I hear this Room movie is depressing as hell. Well, you know what that means? That means the Hollywood hick will never ever see this movie. Mother trucking, ain't gonna happen, Captain. Leonardo DiCaprio won for that Revenant movie, which I hear is horribly violent. It also won for motion picture drama. So there it is. Congrats to all the winners. There we go. Golden Globes. All these people won whatever they won, and that's the way it goes right there. Oh, but where did I didn't even get to, did I just breeze right past the most important award of all? Where did it go? Or did they leave it off this list? No. Now, the one award that was the most deserved of the entire evening, although this season is not as good as the first one, but I still love her, and her character is the tense, Miss Taraji P. Henson done one, or I think it's Taraji P. Henson, done one for Empire playing Cookie, and she handed out cookies all the way down going up to the stage, and I think that's brilliant. I think that's hysterical, and she was looking good, too. She got great eyes. I like how they do her makeup, and her eyebrows are all dramatical. So, good for you, Cookie. Good for you, Cookie. That was the only person who I think deserved their award. Everybody else, man, you could have, maybe not, because I don't know what half of this shit is, because I just don't pay attention anymore. I used to try to be up on all of this stuff. I just can't do it. I don't have it in me. I do not have it up in me. But one more quick couple of things on the go. Okay, here's what, these are the two jokes that people, or two of the jokes that people got all kind of butthurt about. And I honestly, the people, you need to get a sense of humor. Quit thinking everything so personal and realize that occasionally, sometimes we just need to poke fun at ourselves and the world around us, and then like we just move on. It doesn't mean anybody's horrible, awful, hateful person. It just means they're like making it funny. Okay, move on. Because one of the things Ricky Gervais said about the Caitlyn Jenner, when he said, what a year she's had. She's become a role model for trans people everywhere, showing great bravery and destroying stereotypes. True. She didn't do a lot for women drivers. You can't have everything, can you? Not at the same time. Which is hysterical, as far as I'm concerned. Because in addition to all of this great press about coming out as trans and having this transformation in front of the world and being very brave about that, which I am completely salute and I am like, I'm down with. I'm like, good for you. If that makes you happy, then go for it. But you did cause a really, really bad accident that resulted in somebody dying. So you've also got that going against you. So you probably really aren't the best driver. You were distracted. You caused an accident. And Ricky Gervais made a joke. And don't get all butthurt about it. All the people are just all butthurt all the time over everything. Like, how dare you make fun of somebody? Well, that's what the whole point of these stupid shows are. If you don't want to see people get made fun of, don't tune in to the freaking Golden Globes. And then also, so okay, on the gender pay gap disparity, that's the one where people got all upset too. Said Jennifer Lawrence made the news when she demanded equal pay for women in Hollywood. She received overwhelming support from people everywhere. There were marches on the street with nurses and factory workers saying, how the hell can a 25-year-old live on $52 million? Which is hysterical. Then he goes on. He's like, of course, women should be paid the same as men for doing the same job. And I'd like to say now, I'm being paid exactly the same as what Tina Fey and Amy Poehler did last year. No, I know there were two of them, but it's not my fault if they want to share the money, is it? It's their stupid fault. It's funny because it's true. And that's true, too. It's like, whatever, if you want to split it, that's up to you. And he's got making a very good point, because I've said the same thing. I just don't think Jennifer Lawrence is the one who needs to be the poster child for that, because she's making so much freaking money. I would like to see nurses and like personal assistants and like people who work in offices and things be able to stand up and like do this and have their normal Ray moment where they hold up their strike sign and be like, equal pay for these same jobs. And we don't need to hear this from Jennifer Lawrence, because she's already making $52 million a year. And if she can't get by on $52 million, the bitch is doing something seriously wrong. I'm just saying this out. Okay? Okay. And I'm just going to leave that at that before people get all upset with a Hollywood hick, start sending me messages about how I'm insensitive and whatnot, and they can basically kiss my big old ever-loving hind end, right? Well, let's see how much time. Oh, we got a little time here left. I'm quit talking about these stupid Golden Globes. Okay, Golden Globes happened. People got all upset. I still don't understand how The Martian wins for comedy, because it ain't a comedy. It is not a comedy. I'm just saying is all. But let's find a couple of people and make us feel better about ourselves getting out of here today over here on the Hollywood Hick program right here on the Crab Diving Network. Oh, this one. Just be glad you are not this see you next Tuesday mess of a mess, bitch ass, mother trucking bitch. I swear. Now, honestly, I want to completely write this chick off. But at the same time, I also need somebody around like this to make me feel better about myself and have someone to talk about when it comes time for this stupid shit to be talked about. But apparently, while everybody else was enjoying the Golden Globe program, Lindsay Lohan, and this is from the Jezebel site, but I've seen it on a couple of other few things. People were talking about it. But apparently, Lindsay Lohan, Messy McMess-a-Lot, freaking Lindsay Hohan, reportedly kicked out of a bar for making racist comments and spitting on someone. Classy lady. That's what you call classy. But it says here, while everyone else was at home thoughtfully planning their themed Golden Globes party menus on Friday night. Oh, this was Friday. The Golden Globes was Sunday. Lindsay Lohan was holed up in the bathroom of a New York City bar. You know, some of that was going on. Her and her little sister. But apparently, Page Six reports the actress and her sister, Allie, spent about 20 minutes in the bathroom of V-Bar in Greenwich Village. When the bartender finally knocked on the door and asked the pair to leave, they were not having it, is basically why it happened. This bartender spoke to both Radar Online and Page Six about the incident, and he said, Lohan hurled racist insults at the man. She was like, are you from Ghana? She mocked, according to the bartender, who wouldn't give his name. Well, now we know the one who looks like he's from Ghana. I'm just saying is all. But then she spat in the face of a customer who tried to intervene. Apparently, it's what had happened. But their tirade didn't end with flying spit. Witnesses report that soon after Lohan was kicked out, a friend of Lindsay's came to the bar and tried to fight the bartender. Because that's what you do. You get kicked out and then you send your friend back to fight because that's the best way to get let back in. You don't make no damn sense, Lindsay Lohan. Like your train of thought and your thought processes are so completely distorted and whacked out. It is cray cray. It is cray cray. Why anybody gives you any time of day is beyond me. How you are not living in a puddle on the sewer of the street, I do not know. But it just amazes me. It amazes me. Because you are too young to look as old as you look and haggard. It's just weird. Just weird. But apparently, he got in his face, talking really aggressive, and was threatening him. And then it says, that sounds about right. I sort of imagine Lohan's friends spent most of their nights running around with bloodshot eyes, threatening to beat up everyone who wronged them over the course of that particular evening. So apparently, she was not having it, all pissed off. It's like, why would you spit in somebody's face? That is just low. That is just low. But apparently, what it happened... Oh, the Radar actually has more details on this here. It says, apparently, they walked in off the street. Oh, fuck you and your damn put your ads up over top of everything. I was trying to read from your article, and then you can't click on the damn X to get rid of it. Here we go. They walked in off the street, made a beeline for the bathroom. They didn't order a drink or nothing. They were there. They were in there for around 20 minutes, and then that's when the bartender was like, y'all guys to come out. You can't be taking up our whole bathroom. Lindsay came out. Her eyes were glazed over, and she started yelling at the bartender, who is originally from West Africa. This is New York. You're not from here. Oh, this is a better one. Why didn't I reference this one before? What stunned everyone is when she was talking to him in a mock African accent, and she kept asking him if he was from Ghana. It seemed like a racist attack. Apparently, at that point, other drinkers who were watching events unfold and were disgusted by Lindsay's behavior intervened and asked the hard-partying pair to exit the bar. Apparently, they wouldn't leave, and all hell was breaking loose. And that's when Lindsay spat in one of these people's face. The bar then erupted, and everyone was yelling at them to leave. Nice, classy ladies, classy spit. That's some pumpkin from frickin' Flavor of Love bullshit right there. Gross. Apparently they came back with their lights on their cameras and they put their face up to the windows. Lindsay was slamming her hands on the windows and she was messed up. So that's what you do. That's the best way to like handle these situations, especially when you're this stupid famous bitch ass bitch of an actress, right? Apparently, why didn't I read this part up front? About a half hour later, a friend of Lindsay's came back to the bar and tried to fight the bartender, got in his face. Another person in the bar attempted to film it, and then Lindsay's friend stole her phone and ran out of the bar with it. Then they chased her down and restrained restrained him till the top cops arrived, and it was apparently madness. Apparently, it took four NYPD officers responding to the scene. They questioned Lindy's, the male friend who stole the phone, the petrified bartender who suffered a scratch on his arm in the brawl. He like said he'd never experienced anything like it. He said, "I was scared because I didn't know what the end what would be the end result, especially when you're a black guy in New York and seeing as they were totally racist and kept asking me where I was from. Luckily, the cops were really nice and they understood. They asked me if I wanted to press charges and I said no, I just want them to leave. The cops told the guy to stay off the block. They told him if he comes back, they would arrest him." So yeah, there you go. Way to go. Way to go, Lindsay Lohan. That's like a fine, upstanding citizen right there. So if y'all don't feel better about yourself, like, she might be Lindsay Lohan and in movies and whatnot, but you are not that piece of trash, walking down the street, causing trouble in bars up in New York City. So if you don't feel better about yourself after that, mother truckers, I don't know what'll do the job. And on that note, that does it for me, y'all. This is the Hollywood Hick right here on the Crab Diving Network. Follow me on the Twitters, at the H-Wood Hick. Also follow the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheHollywoodHick. And I'm out of here, y'all. Doodle lamb, do, mother truckers. Bye. Boo lamb, boo lamb, boo lamb, boo lamb, boo. Two lamb, two lamb, two lamb, two lamb, two. Great leg, great leg, great leg, great leg now. Take a leg, take a leg, take a leg, take a leg.